Welcome back to the Afternoon Jams, brought to you by BestBlackNews.com. Big Rob, we love putting good energy out here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love it.
People who are making a difference in the community, trying to provide a little relief for the stress that we're dealing with. And on the phone line, we're honored to have out of the ATL, I think this is the second person we don't have from the ATL this week.
Mr.
Kenneth Broswell is on the phone line. Got a Black Fathers initiative that's going on, and we want to get the input, see what's happening with him. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Hey, man, Black Fathers Initiative, that alone raises eyebrows for a single brother like me who raised two girls. Big Rob, my friend and my counterpart, who raised all his kids. But then you see that we've fallen short in some places. Tell us about your initiative first before we get into talking about the Marbury case.
Absolutely. And so my organization is called Fathers Incorporated. We began now 16 years ago in New York. So while I'm in the ATL, I'm in the ATL through Brooklyn, New York. And so I brought my cityness to the Southern.
Yeah.
Try to mix that up and see what I could do with that. But about 16 years ago, you know, God put it on my heart really to speak to the hearts of men, because as many of us have possibly, you know, dealt with in our lives, we've come to a point where, you know, we touch up against the system, you know, that tries to navigate and dictate how we are parents in the lives of our children. And so going through that process gave me an epiphany, because I was already doing work in the community. I was working with the Urban League of New York. I've done work with the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA. I was in deep in the mix of that. But he put this call on my life to really begin to work with fathers around in the areas of child support, visitation, and custody. And what I realized very quickly was I wasn't big enough to do all of the work that it took to save every dad that was up against that system. So I began to start thinking about doing professional development for agencies around the country, specifically working with dads. You know, and because of who I am, you know, 99% of that clientele happens to look just like me. You know, Black men from around the country who have a similar narrative as me, growing up and not having my dad in my life, not having fathers in my community, not knowing what a healthy marriage looks like, not knowing what healthy relationships look like. And so that's led me down the path of really doing this work over the last 15 years. We've enjoyed doing this nationally. We are also currently the prime contract for the National Responsible Father Clearinghouse under the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and we've been doing that for over 10 years. So I sit in a perfect position to be able to kind of guide policy, influence programming, but at the same time, here in Atlanta, be on the ground providing direct service directly to men who are trying to be better dads in the lives of their children.
Wow. You know, I want to say that this is no scientific test, just based on what I've seen. I have seen a lot of young brothers with their kids in the past five to 10 years, seeing an increase of brothers with their kids. Right, Big Rob? Wouldn't you say that, Big Rob?
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
So groups like yours are definitely making a difference.
Yeah. So it's in the research. I mean, the research is showing us now that, you know, in the last 30 years, the number of single fathers have quadrupled in this country. And a lot of that is in a very ironic space. And so we know that courts can be biased as it relates to dads, and we get that. And so, but at the same time, there is a shift and a change where magistrates around the country are beginning to look equally at the ability to raise a child in both moms and dads. And as a result of that, dads are becoming, you're seeing more and more dads who are not only engaging in the lives of their children, but they're getting sole custody of their children, and not just one child, two or three children. And so you're seeing more single dads. And then secondly, I add, is research is also pointing to the fact that in this country, African-American fathers are the most engaged fathers in the lives of their children and any other cohort of men in this country. So the myth and the dialogue and the societal perspective that says that dads are not in the lives of their children is an absolute lie. We are in the lives of our children. We may not be in the lives the way people want us to be or expect us to be, but we're providing something, even if it's just picking up our children, taking them to the school in the morning, particularly given that for young African-American men in this country, 16 to 24, their unemployment rate is almost 20%. And in some cities around the country, and upwards of 40 and 50%, particularly where you guys are in Michigan and other areas like that, where we have big major cities, our young Black men are struggling trying to find wage earning jobs to take care of themselves and their families.
Yeah, I can tell you this. I witnessed Big Rob, my co-host, who has five kids. I witnessed him every day of their life where they attended school, get up in the morning, take them to school, and pick them up from school. And he stay in a city where they can actually walk. But he made sure. He didn't allow them that. He wasn't going to let that happen. And five kids. And so most of them grown, except one now, who's graduating this year, I believe.
A couple years. He's in the 10th grade now.
So I seen that firsthand. And it was very impressive for me, because I'm like, I made my kids walk. You know what I mean? But he
you sound like me. I was the same thing with my child. My wife was like, he ain't walking nowhere.
Right. See, I didn't have that. I didn't have it in the household, so maybe they probably would have got saved if I was married, you know what I mean, at the time. So they
I had that stepfather dude, and I know y'all know these men. My stepfather was like, listen, you know, whenever you start your story back in the day, you know you're going to be there for a minute.
All right.
I always say, you know, back when I was growing up, I used to walk to school 10 miles both ways uphill.
Yeah.
And then you walk away, and you're like, how you walk two different directions uphill both times? That don't make no sense. But you just, since he said it, it must make sense to him. It's got to make sense to me.
Yeah, uphill in his mind. So you wrote some interesting books. and shout out to stepfathers too who are doing it, because God knows mine saved my life. And you wrote some interesting books. Daddy, There's a Noise Outside, and Daddy, Can I Cry? And what I'm reading, that these books would help parents discuss the Ahmaud Arbery case. Can you explain the connection there?
Absolutely. Well, I've actually written books, and these are actually the anchor books. And so there's two books on the inside of them, Daddy is Feeling Blue and Daddy's Family Tree. And the reason that I got into writing children's books is because before I wrote the first book, I was actually in Baltimore with a friend of mine during the Freddie Gray indictments. And I don't know if you remember the scene in Baltimore then, all of the state troopers and National Guard and Army guys and just military people in the middle of Baltimore waiting for these indictments to come down. And it was just chaos all over the city.
Right.
And my friend got interviewed by CNN, and I happened to be standing next to him while he was interviewed. And at the same time he was being interviewed and I'm standing next to him, my wife and my then 6-year-old son was watching TV, and he saw me on TV. And his question to my wife was, why is Daddy with all of those police? And so he's a young African-American 6-year-old kid, not knowing what's going on with Daddy. Why is he on TV? Why are all these military guys? And my wife did what, you know, most wives do. Wait till your daddy come home. Right. And so when I got home, a few days later, I wasn't even in the door quick enough. And he said, Dad, why were you with all those police? And I was like, whoa, wait, but, you know, give me a couple of minutes to settle and I'll come back out and talk to you. And what I realized when I went into the room to get settled for him is that I had an answer about where I was, but what I did not have was a 6-year-old answer.
Mm.
And I struggled with how I was going to explain to my son why I was where I was and what was taking place where I was. And what I decided to do when I came out is to not talk to him about the why what was happening there, but the what was happening. So I twisted and I began to talk to him about protest. And I began to help him understand why people protest and what protest looks like. And my illustration to him was, remember how when I tell you that you can't play your Xbox, you walk off into your room pouting and stomping your feet. And he said, yeah. And I said, that's a form of protest. What you were doing was expressing to me your inability or your desire not to conform with what I was saying. And that was your way of voicing your frustration to me. That's what was happening in Baltimore. Something happened in Baltimore and a young man was murdered, and the community is now voicing their concern about what happened. And so what I learned from him is that when you're dealing with children, you don't always have to get them mired in the detail of what's taking place. As long as you can get them to conceptually understand what's taking place, you can get to kids and you can allow them to be able to go through what we're going through and the trauma as adults and not be so impacted as children.
Wow, that's good, man. That's way to break it down. I didn't think of it like that. Now, how do people pick up these books, and how do you suggest they, do they sit down and read it to the kids, or do they have the kids read these books themselves?
Absolutely. So both ways. So the first thing is that you can get both of these books by going to our website at www.fathersincorporated.com, and you can find the books and you can go in and read a little bit about them. The second thing I'll say is what we did is all of our books have parent and teacher guides in them. And what those are designed for is so that parents or teachers can sit down with their students, read the book, and have critical conversations with our children. So with respect to Daddy, There's a Noise Outside, it's talking to our young children between the ages of 5 and 8 years old, specifically about protest. And Daddy's Feeling Blue is talking about family health, and family, Daddy's Family Tree is talking about legacy. And then lastly, with Daddy, Can I Cry, that's related to what we're dealing with now. The book is dealing with grief and is dealing with loss. And so one of the things that we are just not taking into account as we continue to go through these continuing traumatic episodes within our community, we're losing both our Black men and Black women. And on top of that right now, the coronavirus and losing so many people to the virus, is adults are being traumatized by what's taking place, and no one is talking to children about what is going on and determining whether or not they're being traumatized as well and how that is impacting them in the space, because we're so worried about ourselves.
Wow. That's I'm glad you came up with this book, and I'm glad you're bringing up this topic, because you're right. I can imagine what is going on in their minds, the kids, our babies.
Right. So what we do is we say, you know, oh, Papa, Mama, you know, they going on to a better life. You know how our people sauce it up. You know, they're going on to a better life. They're going on to be with the Lord. And then you let them cry, and then you hug them, and then you send them on their way. But you don't know that they're going through a grieving process just like you. And they don't know conceptually what that means. They're going on to glory. And so in the midst of that, they're wondering like, whoa, when am I going on to glory?
Right. Wow.
The kids too.
Exactly. Now, your organization, is it just in Atlanta or is it nationwide?
So we're a nationwide organization. So we provide services and curriculum development and programs and TA to organizations across the country. But as it relates to the direct service, the on-the-ground case management, those kinds of things, we're just beginning to build those things up in Atlanta. Most of what we've done has been national and really kind of helping people to more deeply engage fathers in the lives of their children. A couple of things we're into now is we have a project called Black Dads Count, where we're really encouraging Black dads around the country to fill out their 2020 census form, and understanding that, you know, when you don't fill out your census form, you're leaving money off the table for your community that are in need of much needed resources.
Yeah.
And in our country, African-Americans are the most hard to count community in the country. And amongst that community, Black men are least likely to fill out the 2020 census form. And then the second piece is something that we do called the Million Fathers March, and we do that in September, where we encourage dads to take their children to school, you know, on a given day in in September to activate them and allow them to become more actively engaged in the education of their lives, not through just reading and doing their homework at school, but joining the PTA, becoming school hall monitors, being school crossing guards, mentoring, coaching, all of those things, and having an active engagement in the educational lives of their children. So those are all national kind of base programs, but then on the ground, you know, we're helping guys get through their child support cases and get through their custody issues and helping them find jobs and find houses and getting them diapers and milk and gift cars and transportation cars.
Wow.
And that kind of stuff on the ground.
Man, that's amazing, brother.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, Rob, wow. we're like in 5 different states right now. You can help our family out in Mississippi and South Carolina and Michigan and Florida and other places.
Absolutely, particularly through our federal grant, through our federal contract, I mean, through the National Responsible Fatherhood Clearinghouse. And that website is fatherhood.gov. And so attached to fatherhood.gov, we actually have a helpline. And it escapes me right now what the number, but just go to the website. You can find the 1-800 number. And what you can do is you can call that number, and we actually and literally have staff there on 8 hours a day that will help someone in Mississippi, in Florida, in Michigan, California, Hawaii, Alaska, find the services that are closest to them in their community so that they can get services provided for them as well.
And what's the cost?
Cost is free.
Woo.
And in this case, free is free.
Woo.
I mean, it's funded by the federal government. Sounds
like something I need to check out. Free.
Right, Rob.
It's free.
Give that website out again. Please do that.
It's fatherhood.gov. You know, you can go to it online and follow us on our Facebook page, both Fathers Incorporated and fatherhood.gov. Our fatherhood.gov page, we have almost 250,000 people on that page. And so we're constantly feeding people with information, webinars, resources, you know, job opportunities. There's dialogue taking place back and forth with fathers online, and they're, you know, they're self and peer teaching each other. As you lay somebody to get on and say, hey, I'm a new dad. You got any advice for me? The next time, next thing you turn up, there's 150 comments from dads who are saying, yeah, when I became a dad, this is what I did. Oh, good luck, bro. I'm glad you're a dad. You know, be careful. Dude. So it's not only the kind of direct service provision and information and resources that we're giving to them, but other fathers are also playing that peer-to-peer father-to-father role when guys are coming in, whether or not they're dealing with, you know, child support, they're dealing with the loss of a job, they're dealing with custody, they're dealing with communication, they're dealing with an out-of-control teenager, they're dealing with how do I talk to my daughter, anything that you can possibly go through in your life. You can just put it out there and ask it, and you're going to have 50 to 100 people respond to you.
Mr. Bronswell, before we go, did this program start under President Obama?
No, it actually started with Clinton.
Okay.
Clinton actually introduced the bill, right? But it didn't manifest itself. It didn't manifest itself until Bush. Bush actually created the whole notion of the National Responsible Fatherhood Clearinghouse, as well as the, and so across the country, OFA also funds right now, I believe it's about 78 both fatherhood grantees and healthy marriage grantees. And those started under Bush. And then they continued through the Obama years. And now they're still continuing through the Trump years. The cool thing about this particular work as it relates to responsible fatherhood and healthy marriage, which they're dubbing healthy relationship now, is that it's a bipartisan issue. Both parties understand the importance of family. Both parties understand the importance of fatherhood and motherhood and parenting. And those things don't get caught up in the politics. They kind of move along as they've always moved along. They don't get caught up in who's in the office. They get funded and they continue to move. And folks are doing great work across the country as a result of it.
Wow. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, man. This is informative. our brothers definitely need this support, and continue the good work, Black Father Advocates and Black Father, no, Fatherhood Initiative. It don't say Black Father, Fatherhood Initiative. I just do the black part in there.
We are unapologetic when it comes to Fathers Incorporated. My federal contract, I got to be for all people.
Exactly.
That's just what the feds are. But with respect to Fathers Incorporated, the reality on any given day, we're dealing with black fathers. And so that's a whole nother conversation and a whole nother nuance to deal with on another day. Hopefully you guys will be gracious enough to have me come back to talk specifically about them.
No doubt. No doubt. We got time for you, brother. If you got time for us, we got time for you. All right.
Put me in, coach.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much, man. Take care. Good talking to you, sir. Good talking to you.
Right, you too. God bless it. Be safe out there.
Uh-huh. Will do. All right, family. Back to my music. This afternoon jams brought to you by bestblacknews.com.